Certainly, it is needful in times like these for us to hold to God's unchanging hand. All of us were disturbed when we learned of the massacre of children, along with some adults as well, up in Connecticut. It says something about the terrible times in which we live. It says something about the power of evil that is at work in the world. It's difficult for us to wrap our minds around and fully comprehend what would possess a person to perpetrate the kind of violent deed perpetrated by the young man who took the lives of 26 persons, 18 of whom I'm told were children. What kind of depraved and diabolical mentality could motivate one to take the lives of so many? Many of them were young. We could just regard them almost as babies. It's beyond the comprehension of our minds, and very disturbing to us. It serves to validate the affirmation expressed by Jeremiah when he says that the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all. That was wickedness in operation. There was evil at work in the taking of those innocent lives. And certainly we want to continue to pray for those families that suffered the tragic losses of their loved ones in that massacre. Yeah, that passage is Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In this kind of world, there's a vital necessity for all of us to hold on to God's unchanging hand. This also highlights and underlines the vital need to keep or to make the main thing the main thing. What is the main thing for the children of God, for the church of Christ? What should take precedence over everything else in the body of Christ? The main objective, the main mission of the Church of our Lord is to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. Jesus mandates that we go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not or believes not shall be condemned or damned. We need to, with renewed zeal, commit ourselves again to becoming more evangelistic, intensifying our efforts to spread the gospel of light in a world of darkness. Turn, please, to the lesson from the scripture that was read just a moment ago by Brother Gary Davis. Mark chapter 1. He read verses 40 through 45. When we look at this passage, we take note of a number of different things. We take note first of the plea of this leper. There came a leper to him, beseeching him. That means to implore, to beg, and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There was no doubt in the mind of the leper that Jesus could make him clean. And so he came with a plea for cleansing. And he assumed a certain posture as he approached Jesus, bespeaking an attitude of humility. He kneeling down to him, saying unto him, denoting his belief of the possibility of being cleansed, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There's no doubt that you can do it. I know you can do it. I have sufficient faith that you can do it. I know that the possibility of my cleansing is real. All you have to do is will to cleanse me, and I'll be clean. I can appreciate the faith exemplified by the leper. Then we see the pity before the cleansing. The Bible says Jesus, moved with compassion. Some translations say pity, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. You know, the leper said, now, if you're willing to, if you want to, if you will, then you can cleanse me. I know that. And so Jesus is ready to demonstrate his power to cleanse this leper. He said unto him, as he put forth his hand and touched him, I will. Be thou clean. Really, you were not supposed to contact a person who had leprosy because he was ceremonially unclean. Jesus was not afraid to touch the leper. Ordinarily, the regular, everyday person would not have dared to touch this leper because leprosy could contaminate you. So you had to keep a certain distance from other folk. You know, during this particular time of the year, there are a lot of bugs out there. Cold viruses and flu viruses and other infectious disease viruses. And so we ask folk when they are sick, we ask folk when they have the flu or when they have a bad cold, don't come to work. Stay at home. Yeah, keep your infection contained to yourself. If you got a bad virus or the flu or a bad cold, don't cough on me. Don't sneeze on me. Don't hug me. Refrain from hugging me until you are well, because I don't want to catch what you got. But Jesus didn't worry about that. Jesus's love and mercy and power was such that he could touch the leper and not be afraid of being contaminated by the leper. Rather than Jesus becoming unclean by virtue of him touching the leper, Jesus effected the cleansing of the leper. Jesus healed him of this dreaded disease. And we see the promptness in the healing, because verse 42 says, "And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him." And we see the purification that took place, the purifying and the cleansing. The man was at that point free from his leprosy. He didn't have to take a series of treatments over a protracted period of time. He didn't have to go to a medical professional and receive certain injections or take multiple pills over days and weeks and months in order to have a cure effected of his leprosy. We see the promptness as Jesus demonstrates his power in cleansing the leper. Now, as we study through the book of Mark, one of the things you will discover, Mark uses the terms immediately, straightway, forthwith. All of those terms signify action. Jesus being on the move. Jesus being able to do things and get immediate results, especially as it pertained to his working of miracles. Jesus was busy about doing the Father's will, about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus was busy cleansing lepers and cleansing men of divers diseases, and also of cleansing lepers like this man, casting out devils. He raised certain people from the dead. Jesus said, "I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work." So Mark will use terminology signifying that Jesus acted promptly. Jesus recognized how important it was to do his work and to finish his work and to complete his work. We must have the same attitude, the same spirit. We must demonstrate and exemplify the same kind of zeal in carrying out the Great Commission and spreading the gospel of salvation. We need to be renewed. We need to be recommissioned that we might become more interested in carrying out the mission of Christ, teaching the gospel to those that are lost. And there are teeming thousands all around us. We have to reach out to them like Jesus reached out to this leper. Jesus gives a prohibition to the now ex-leper. Verse 43, he straitly charged him, and forthwith, that term straitly, that signifies also a sense of immediacy. Forthwith indicates that he did it right away. He sent him away. And then he said something unto him of great interest. In verse 44, he said, "See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." It was needful that he present himself to the priest in accordance with the requirements imposed by the law of Moses so he could be officially declared to be ceremonially clean again. Jesus said, in issuing a gag order, "I don't want you to tell anybody about what has happened to you." That was the prohibition. But in verse 45, his joy, his excitement, his exuberance over being free of this dreaded disease overrode the prohibition to silence that Jesus had issued, the prohibition to telling anybody about it. He just couldn't keep quiet. He couldn't keep silenced. Jesus said, "Don't tell anybody about what I have done for you." But the Bible says he did the exact opposite. He went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert or desolate places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now, you might be wondering or asking, why would Jesus issue this kind of prohibition? Why would he tell the ex-leper, "Don't tell nobody about what I have done"? One of the concerns that Jesus had was he did not want people to flock to him just on account of what he could do for them from a physical standpoint. He did not want to be overrun by the crowds, by those who were just interested in his miracles, those who were just interested in the loaves and fishes. But this man was so excited, so filled with joy that he couldn't help himself. He went out and he published what had happened to him. He proclaimed it to everybody that he saw. And as a result of that advertisement, unsolicited, that he did, folks came to Jesus from every quarter, so much so that he had to go out to the desolate places. And folks still made their way to him. They still found him. He was told, "Don't tell anybody." He told everybody. We're told to tell everybody. Frequently, we don't tell anybody. That's strange, isn't it? See, there's no gag order placed on us as children of God. Jesus said, "Go and tell everybody." And many of us don't tell anybody. Jesus placed the gag order on the ex-leper. Said, now don't tell anybody. He went out and told everybody. You know what we need in the church of our Lord? We need the same kind of enthusiastic commitment and zeal that was demonstrated by the man who had been a leper. Are you excited about your salvation? Are you excited about what Jesus has done for you? Are you grateful for the cleansing from your sins that you have experienced? Are you thankful for what Jesus did for you? Now, if you won or came or inherited $1 million, there are a lot of folks you would tell. If somebody, Gary, said, you want to keep that to yourself, a self-imposed gag order, because every spared brother would be asking, can you can I borrow, or can you give me? But if you knew of a cure for cancer, wouldn't you be delighted to tell everybody about it? If that was a surefire cure for cancer, for breast cancer, for colon cancer, for pancreatic cancer, for liver cancer, for prostate cancer, for lung cancer, for brain cancer, for melanomas of all types, if that was a surefire cure, you couldn't wait to spread the news abroad. With the millions of individuals who have diabetes, types 1 and 2, if that was a surefire cure for diabetes, don't you think that we would tell everybody about it? Let me tell you, there is a tremendous breakthrough. There is now a surefire, definitive cure for diabetes. Oh, there are so many folks who have it and who are taking treatments for it, who are taking pills and taking insulin. You'd be very excited to share that good news. If individuals became aware of a surefire cure for heart disease, for cardiac and cardiovascular problems, wouldn't you be excited enough to share it with everybody? Wouldn't you want to share it with everybody? What if there were a cure on another level? For the sin-sick soul. What if that was a surefire cure for sin? Could you get excited about that? Could you become zealous and enthusiastic about sharing the divine remedy for the salvation of men from the bondage of sin? Could you get excited about that? If we could get excited about cures for various conditions, illnesses of the body, how much more excited we could become or ought to become about the cure for the numerous maladies affected by sin of the soul. The soul far transcends the body in value. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Let's recommit ourselves to having the same attitude of the ex-leper, the same commitment, the same zeal in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And some of you might be feeling, oh, there he goes. This is old hat. This is our purpose for existing as the people of God. We cannot afford to be complacent and apathetic. Oh, well, he's talking about soul winning again. He's talking about preaching the gospel and personal evangelism and public evangelism. We've heard all of that before. Don't bore us talking to us about sharing the gospel. We don't have time to learn how to do personal evangelism, let alone to actually do it. All people are not interested in hearing about Jesus Christ. People are not concerned about being saved. People think they're all right, and apparently we also think they're all right. We got all of our responsibilities and obligations. We have much to do. We still got a lot of shopping to do. We still got our recreational activities in which to be involved. We still got to take time out to watch the playoffs in the NFL. We still got to take time out to attend the various programs of the seasons. I'm not saying those things are bad or those things are wrong, but they should not take precedence and have priority over the mission that God has entrusted into our care to share the gospel of Christ with those who are lost. I just wanted to share that with you. I hope we can become excited about it. I hope we can commit ourselves to it. I hope we are willing to actually do it. Jesus says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Let's learn a vital lesson from the ex-leper. Jesus said, "Don't you tell a soul." He told everybody. Jesus says to us, tell everybody. Often we tell nobody. Let's not be satisfied with that sad state of affairs. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, you ought to be. You need to be cleansed of your sin. You know, leprosy was bad, but sin is much worse. But the cure is just as sure for sin as was the cure for the leprosy. Jesus died on the cross, was buried in Joseph's tomb, and arose from the grave on the third day so that men could be cured of their sins, so men could be purified, men could be made whole. Believe that good news of the gospel, repent of your sins, confess your faith, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you can be as excited and enthusiastic about your salvation as the ex-leper was about his cleansing. But there's no gag order placed on you. Jesus says, tell everybody about it. You're free to share the news with each and every person with whom you come into contact. If you're here and you're not a Christian, or you are a Christian rather, but have fallen by the wayside and need to be restored, you can repent, acknowledge it, and pray. We'll pray with you. If you have some special challenges that you're facing, we'd like to encourage you to Let it be known. If you want to request the prayer of your brothers and sisters in Christ, that is always appropriate. We should pray for each other. At this time, we're going to ask you to respond as we together stand and as we sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to the brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty souls. Here